Ramsey TV.
No Christian believes Romans 11:36. No, it's a no Christian. No, I've interviewed every single one of them. None of them believe it. None of them believe the most sweeping, all-encompassing, most illustratively expressive verses in the scripture. It's pretty good to come up with a phrase like illustratively expressive at 6 o'clock in the morning, but that's what I do. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. And my own son, who not only joined the Christian religion cult, but is a leader in the Christian religion cult, doesn't believe Romans 11:36. But as I said, it's to be expected. Because, well, how is it? Let me ask you this. Let me slow down a little bit. How is it that there's a verse in the Bible, inspired by God, that you look at it and on its face say you don't believe it? Now, I've experienced this phenomenon, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I told a guy one time, this is legend, you've probably heard this. I can't even remember where this happened now. But I told this guy, God created evil. And he said, what are you talking about? Are you nuts? I said, well, it's in the Bible. It's Isaiah 45:7. I create evil. God speaking. The guy said, I'm going to have to see that out of the King James Version, assuming that his precious KJV would never say such a thing. Well, I produced a King James Version, happened to have one in my back pocket, showed him the verse. He looked at it point blank, and that's what it said. Point blank, and he looked at me and he said, I don't believe that. Well, what are you going to do? Let's talk about the weather. That's only the only thing you can do at that point. Let me read Romans 11:36 to you, and I will prove to you that it means what it says. This will finish my series on Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul speaking to Israel, taking a break in the book of Romans, taking a break from speaking to the nations, because he's the apostle to the nations, taking a break. What? No, actually, he's not taking a break speaking to them. He's taking a break speaking about them. Yes, he's speaking to them about Israel. And he departs from the script in Romans 11:32 and starts making sweeping statements concerning all creation. Starting in verse 33, let's review. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom. Again, my page is all screwed up. The depth of the riches, the wisdom, knowledge of God, how inscrutable are his judgments, untraceable his ways. For here it comes. This is new territory now, verse 34. I'm building up to Romans 11:36. I got to start in verse 34. I have to, okay? Bear with me here now, because this is important to prove the point. For who knew the mind of the Lord, or who became his advisor, or who gives to him first, and it will be repaid him? That is, repaid the person who gives to God something that God didn't have. Seeing that out of him, through him, and for him is all. To him be the glory for the eons. Amen. I call this the law of circularity, because everything is here. This describes everything. All is out of God. Nothing that exists came into being apart from God. I mean, John 1 says that. Colossians 1, 16 through 20 says that. God created Christ. Everything came into being through Christ. But Christ came into being through God. So all is out of God. All is out of God. All is through God. That is, everything exists because of God. Ephesians 1:11 backs that up. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will. Most Christians will buy into the first part of that. But it's interesting how they cherry pick. All is out of God. Okay, yeah, we believe all is out of God. Yeah, well, that's pretty evident. Oh, yeah, okay. Can you maintain that pose? How about all is through God? Well, allowing for human free will and allowing that God never does anything that's evil, that is disagreeable to us. Right. That's where you start to bail. And certainly they don't believe. Because nobody believes the following thing besides us, that is, believers, that everything is into God. That is, all creation ends up in God by means of the cross of Christ. That's not a popular belief at all. But we go the distance with Romans 11:36. We go the distance. We believe all of it. Isn't that great? Doesn't that seem like a common thing people should do who love the Bible, love the scriptures? Yeah, but it's not. Because they believe in eternal torment. They need to preserve their free will. And it gets ugly at that point. A, B, C. Out of, through, and into God. And there are even some in our camp, ladies and gentlemen, a few, who doubt that all is really through God, in spite of, you know, Acts 17:28. Well, you don't know Acts 17:28? Oh, well, allow me, Acts 17:28. In him we are living and moving and are. Living and moving and are. But you might say, well, that doesn't control, that doesn't mean the whole world. Yeah, but Romans 11:36 does mean the whole world. Some of the people who oppose this say, well, all, you have to look at the context. All doesn't always mean every, absolutely everything. Well, that's true. You do have to look at the context. How about we do this? How about we look at this context? Let's look at this context, because there is a built-in proof in Romans 11:36 that all means all. And it is, it's not an 11:36, it's an 11:34. Paul presents this list of ridiculous, rhetorical statements. These are ridiculous and they're rhetorical. They ought to be. If you don't know how to answer these questions, then you don't even deserve to get to Romans 11:36. Who knew the mind of the Lord? Or who became his advisor? We just found out that his mind is inscrutable, the depths of God's mind. So who knew the mind of the Lord? But here's the killer. Who became his advisor? Who advises God of something he doesn't know? Or who gives to him first? Who gives anything to God first that it may be repaid him? That God will say to that person, thanks for giving me that. I didn't have that before. You gave it to me first. It was something I didn't have. You originated it on your own, and now you're giving it to me. Hoo-hoo. Thank you. And here's your reward. Gonna give it back to you. What goes around comes around. This is ridiculous that anybody could give to God first, or anybody could advise God of something he didn't know. If there's anyone who could advise God of something he doesn't know, or who would give something to God first that God didn't have before, only then would all not be out of, through, and into God. So this proves that the all means all. And Paul, again, uses this supporting evidence. He's using something that is known to prove something that, well, maybe not, maybe there's going to be some people who don't believe all means all. Maybe there's some recalcitrant believers out there. Maybe there's some opposers who hate to admit that all is through God, or that all is into God. So I'll lock it down. I'll seal it. Did anybody give anything to God first? Did anybody advise God of something he didn't know? No, nobody ever did that. Nothing, 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 nothing. Okay, therefore all is out of, through, and into God. Because he's using two extremes. He's using nothing that you can give God, zero. Therefore, everything has to be of God. Seeing that, yeah. Seeing that, that's the language Paul uses here. Who knew the mind of the Lord? Who became his advisor? Who gave to him first and it will be repaid him? Seeing that, out of him, through him, and into him is all. Seeing that, you can do it in reverse. Seeing that this is true, if you want to assume that the all means all without the supporting evidence, seeing that this is true, then nobody could give anything to God that he doesn't have. Nobody could advise God of something that he didn't know. Those should be the known things. So if there's anyone who admits, if there's anyone crazy enough or unknowledgeable enough about God to say that, well, God doesn't have everything. I gave God something he never heard of. Only if you can say that can you be consistent and say, see, not all is of God, not all is through God, not all of is into God, because I gave something God he didn't have. Okay, at least you're consistent. Thank you very much. I told God something he didn't know. I did. I told God something he didn't know. Therefore, not all is out of through and into God. Okay, thank you. At least you're consistent. But if you're going to agree with me that nobody can give God anything that he doesn't have, nobody can advise God of anything that he doesn't know, then you must be consistent again and agree with me that all, that's everything, everything, everything is out of, through, and into God. I actually like this from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. I actually like this from the Message. I don't usually like that version. Of course, it's not scripturally accurate. It's not exactly on point with the Greek, but sometimes it just brings things to a great expression, and I love how it does. Romans 11:33-36, and I'll end with this. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God, this deep, deep wisdom? Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? There's the rhetorical questions. Anybody smart enough to tell him what to do? Anybody smart enough to tell God something and God says, ooh, I never thought of that? Anyone who has done God such a huge favor that God has to go, ooh, thank you. What would I do without you? No. Why is that? Well, the reason is seeing that, and here's the message, everything comes from him, everything happens through him, i.e. no free will, thank you very much, i.e. God, everything is out of God, including good and evil, and everything ends up in him. Ooh, everything ends up in him. Oh, my goodness, that seems to do away with eternal torment, doesn't it? Or annihilation, doesn't it? Everything ends up in him. All is into him. That's what the Concordant Version says. Then we end with this. To him be glory. To him be glory for the eons. Amen.